Hey everybody, welcome back to the Parkinson's Association of San Diego Microcast series. I'm your host, Jeff Seckendorf. We are back now with part four from Phil Goodrich on his journey with DBS. And in this episode, Phil looks back on his diagnosis and gives us a little more history about what it was like to search for and finally become diagnosed with Parkinson's. So we hope you enjoy this piece of the story from Phil and look forward to more episodes as this DBS journey continues.
I want to talk a little bit about, I've also mentioned a little bit about DBS, but I want to talk a little bit about my Parkinson's journey. So I started experiencing what I would say were the first symptoms of Parkinson's, obviously unbeknownst to me that it was Parkinson's for quite some time. But I started experiencing some health issues, I would say December 26th of 2016. And why do I know that specifically? Because I started getting a headache back then that lasted for 3 months. Didn't go away. Occasionally mellowed a little bit, but did not go away. It was my entire head. And I remember it only because I was going to a Christmas party with my son, Josh, my daughter-in-law, Nikki, and my wife, Amy. And I remember it just started that day, but I obviously didn't think too much about it. And as time progressed, it was just a headache that basically went through March. Now, whether that's directly related to Parkinson's or not, I can't really tell you. But what I can tell you is that from that point forward is when I started experiencing other symptoms. A knot in my left side of my shoulder, which just evolved from there. Minor tremors in my pinky, numbness in my hand, and just the inability to use that. I work at a computer all day, and I just realized I was having a hard time using my left hand, and it was becoming more and more numb and more slow and twitching a little bit. And this was over time, obviously, over a few months, but it just got to the point where it just was starting to slow down and not really provide the ability that it had in the past. So I was, I can touch really, or I can type really well, but I just wasn't able to type really well anymore. So started noticing those things. What I started to do is I started to make doctor's appointments. So when I first had the headache, I went to a doctor and they did an MRI on my brain. Everything appeared normal, seemed okay. With regard to the arm and the shoulder, went to a couple of specialists there, but we were looking at carpal tunnel, we were looking at a torn shoulder, we were looking at pinched nerve. At one point, we were looking at something else related to my arm. So we had looked at a number of different things, and this went over a course of 9 months. And at the end of that 9 months, and I can't remember how many specialists, I want to say about four or five or different related things that I just kind of referenced, we decided that it was time. A doctor said, I think I need to send you to a neurologist. And I remember saying, what does neurology do? I said, I'm familiar with the term, but can you remind me what they do? And he said, yeah. So this is going to be four things like diseases like Parkinson's and ALS, and I think he even mentioned MS and a number of other diseases. And I'm not an expert in those areas, so I'm going to be careful not to go into too much detail on those things. But he just referenced that I needed to go see a neurologist. When I started seeing the neurologist, it was really a process where she told me this would take some time, but that what we need to do is, she said, you need to be in here every 2 or 3 months, and what we're going to do is we're going to test you on the spectrum of symptoms for a number of different diseases, and it's just going to give me a sense, she said, over time to determine if I can diagnose you. So when you think of Parkinson's, for example, it evolves. It's fast. It evolves quite quickly. It's very progressive. It treats everybody differently. Although there's a large number of symptoms, people go through those symptoms in different ways, shapes, and forms, and so we all experience it really differently. So at any rate, I was diagnosed, I would say 15 months after I started seeing that neurologist. So it took us a while, and I was going in every 2 to 3 months. And during that time period, I think October of 2018, the doctor said, listen, I'm getting close to, I think, diagnosing this. I'm going to do a couple more test today, and then we're going to probably come back and give you a diagnosis in January of 2019. And at this stage, I was pretty excited just to have some understanding of what was going on with me. So I was looking forward to that. And so my wife and I came back in January 2019, eager just to find out what was going on. Because at this point, fast forward those 15 months that I'm seeing a neurologist, things have definitely evolved. In November of 2018, when she was telling me about the upcoming appointment in January that she wanted to diagnose me, what she did say was, "I'm leaning towards diagnosing you with Parkinson's." And my wife and I looked at each other. We said, "Okay, it's kind of what we anticipated based on our own research. This is where we kind of saw this going. All right, we can live with this. Let's get our head in the right place. Let's create a plan and let's just go about it." So when we came back in January and the doctor said, "I've made a diagnosis," and she's looking at my wife and I, and she said, "What I heard was blah, 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 Parkinson's." What my wife heard and what she immediately brought to my attention, and she said to the doctor, was, "I heard you say there's two diagnoses." And I looked at my wife and said, "What?" And she said, "There's two diagnoses." And so looked at the doctor and I said, "Is that correct?" And she said, "It is." So essentially what she diagnosed me with was Parkinson's and ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. We were in shock. We just didn't have many words or thoughts. I think we just kind of sat there dumbfounded. Didn't know what to think or feel or do, to be honest with you. We just kind of took in as much information as we could. And then we left there numb and quiet, and I think just in shock. And we decided to go to a restaurant, and we sat in that restaurant, and I think we were just processing, just trying to get our arm around it. So I'm gonna quickly say, because I think I've referenced this in part one and part two, that the ALS Lou Gehrig's diagnosis was then corrected as a misdiagnosis 20 months later. So the only reason I reference that is because I think it's part and parcel of the whole experience. I think it's important to share it because I think it's an important step in this thing. So left there in January of 2019 with this diagnosis of Parkinson's and ALS. And the one thing I will tell you is that, as strange as this is going to sound, is I was very relieved. Now, not relieved with the diagnoses themselves, because obviously I don't have to say this. Two very progressive diseases. One that will end your life a lot sooner than the other, but certainly you're going to have some challenges with either as you go through that, and it's going to impact you and your family and shorten your life, especially ALS. And certainly Parkinson's will be impacted greatly. So that was January of 2019. November 2020 is when a different doctor, I went to a different set of doctors after a while. And that's when they tested me for a while, and they basically said, "Yeah, we're going to take away that diagnosis of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. You do not have that in our estimation." And I think it just took us a while, because for 20 months, we were planning end of life. Parkinson's wasn't so much our focus back then. It was really ALS, because that's what we thought we had, or I had. I say we because obviously your family, my family is in this with me. It's definitely we, because they are my strength. They are my guides. They are my everything, and my wife and my kids. And I just couldn't be more thankful and appreciate them more. So fast forward to those 20 months, we get that diagnosis taken away. But if you go back to those 20 months, a lot of planning for end of life, a lot of focus on finances and insurance and coverage and things in the right name and moving everything over to my wife's name and just all the paperwork that goes with making sure that this is going to be an easy transition when I eventually pass, which is what we were obviously anticipating possibly 3 to 5 years after the diagnosis of ALS. I think that process for me was in many strange ways very much a relief, and I hope I can give that some context. The first thing I'll tell you is that when I originally got sick and experienced that 9 months of wondering what was going on with me, and I mentioned the carpal tunnel and pinched nerve and separated shoulder and those sort of things, rotator cuff and MRI in the brain and all those things. When we're going through that process, I will be really vulnerable and say that I got extremely depressed. I never really experienced depression in my life. I think I've had depressed moments, but never long-term depression. And that's what set in for me with that process. And for 2 years, I got to say that I'm sure I was a nightmare to live with. And you know, all you can do is pick up and move on and apologize to those people that you hurt and impact along the way. And hopefully you've got people around you who love and support you and realize that this isn't who you are as much as what you're experiencing. And that's certainly what I have. And I'll certainly talk about those things in other microcasts as well. But for me, that was a difficult process. And I know it was for my wife. And she was throughout was just the most beautiful angel I could have ever needed and experienced. And yeah, just couldn't say enough there. So that 2 years of leading up to the diagnosis were definitely the heavy depression time. I separated from family, meaning my behavior. I just withdrew. And I can tell you that I would be with family, friends at a restaurant, and I don't remember being there. I would stare out the window. I was just not adding any value. I was not contributing. I was in my own little world in my head, and it was very painful. And it's painful to only think about it in terms of the impact on my family. When I got the diagnosis, as I mentioned earlier, I felt very relieved. And that relief came from now knowing what we're dealing with. So I'm the sort of person, I've just got to know. I want to know what I'm dealing with. My wife is the exact same way. And what we do is we go about and we figure out how to best tackle it and move on and how we can learn from it, how we can adapt and whatever we need to do.
Thanks, Phil. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back with more from Phil Goodrich and his journey with DBS in future episodes. Thanks, everybody.